I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome back to Radio Times. Yesterday, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf unveiled his first budget plan, and it totals $29.9 billion. The state faces a budget deficit of more than $2 billion, and Wolf says he wants to increase funding for education by $1 billion. He proposed hiking income and sales taxes, cutting property and corporate taxes, levying a severance tax on natural gas drilling, and raising the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. We asked Mary Wilson to give us a rundown of the proposal and the response. She's Capitol reporter for WITF in Harrisburg and also for WHYY. And Mary, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hi there. Really nice to be here.
Nice to have you with us. Nothing mild-mannered about this budget. Any surprises for you, the scope and scale of the tax cuts and tax increases?
The scope certainly is surprising. You know, as you said, the entire size of it, really, it's kind of like the Cirque du Soleil of budgets, at least in my experience. You got taxes flipping every which way on this stage. You got bond issuances being proposed on this stage. So there's just a lot going on. One of the things that surprised me was I thought, based on his campaign promises, we would see more when it came to an income tax increase. I thought we'd see more to target the wealthy for paying that income tax. Right now, it seems like it's a pretty modest exemption for lower income families that the governor is proposing, instead of what he talked about on the campaign trail was something like a graduated rate. A bunch of people said you can't do a graduated rate under the state constitution. And I think what his administration is going for here is a more comprehensive overhaul of several taxes in order to do what I think some of them would call an effective targeting of the wealthy, an effective targeting of large businesses to get them to pay more in state taxes so that you don't need necessarily the graduated income tax rate.
And let me break this some of this down with you, Mary, which is going to the personal income tax, raising it 20%, as you have reported. I'm told, though, that the income tax is relatively low compared to other states, not a progressive tax, as he had talked about, but keeping it at a percentage point. And also pairing that, I guess, with an increase in the sales tax. Was that a surprise for you?
Yeah, that was a surprise, and I think it surprised people on both sides of the aisle. The governor is being knocked around a bit by Republicans right now, who are pointing out that he said on the campaign trail he didn't think that a higher sales tax would be good policy, that he thought the sales tax was somewhat regressive, and so to see him proposing a 10% increase in that, I think, is striking to people. Of course, the administration here would say that you've got to look at this. You've got to look at the whole kit and caboodle. So they're not just proposing tax increases, but they're proposing sizable property tax relief to the tune of $3.8 billion. And if you don't use that $3.8 billion figure, they email you.
Oh, is that right? So you have to watch the whole of the Cirque du Soleil, to use your metaphor, Mary. So we're talking about a possible increase in the sales tax from 6% to 6.6%, and also including more items that would be taxed.
Right. So the sales tax, they're going to keep the main exemptions. They're going to keep exemptions that exist on clothing, food, and prescription drugs. But the idea is that other exemptions would be stricken. So exemptions on, they cherry-picked examples like candy, gum, basic television, although I'm not exactly sure what that means, amusement and recreation. Republicans are saying you're also going to have to pay more for professional services like legal services and accounting. The tax is going to apply to that now, and the higher sales tax will apply to things like funeral services. So they're hitting that pretty hard, as you can imagine. Republicans were not too thrilled with this proposal.
I do want to play a clip of something from what Wolf said yesterday. And this has to do with property taxes and how he wants to address plans to cut property taxes in Pennsylvania. Let's give that a listen.
Overall, my budget will reduce average homeowners' property taxes by 50%, putting more than $1,000 each year into their pockets. This will ease the burden on low-income and middle-class homeowners, and it will bring some much-needed relief to seniors living on fixed incomes, some of whom have been forced to leave homes they have lived in their entire lives simply because they cannot afford higher property taxes. In fact, under my plan, many senior citizens will see their property taxes eliminated altogether.
I mean, Mary, that's a pretty sizable savings that he is predicting, cutting property taxes by 50%, about $1,000 a year in the pockets of property owners. Can he stand by those numbers, do you think?
Well, I don't know. We really don't have a lot of details about how this is going to work, about how those rebates would work. And really, you don't always get in the weeds on the day that the budget is proposed. So I'm not sure that's a knock on the administration. What I think is interesting about this property tax relief plan, so it's huge, right? But it also hits on things that Republicans have been trying to do. So for the past few years, there's been larger and larger rallies of people trying to eliminate the property tax. There's such, you know, hatred for that levy, and Republicans have slowly been trying to advance proposals that bring it down or that eliminate it. Wolf's proposal, as I'm sure your listeners are aware, borrows from those Republican proposals to bring that property tax down. And he'd do it in a different way slightly, but he's singing from the Republican hymn book, if you will. So it could be a beginning of a negotiation there. And you heard Republican lawmakers saying yesterday, well, this doesn't look good to me, but let's take a look at that property tax relief plan and, you know, exactly how would that affect people in my district.
And what's so interesting is, yes, the state is facing a budget deficit of more than $2 billion, but Wolf wants to get a billion dollars, I guess, back into education, whether it's a pre-K through 12 or even to higher education. How does he propose to do that?
He's proposing that money, most of that money would come from Marcellus, from a new tax on the Marcellus Shale natural gas industry. There's a lot of skepticism about whether the tax he's proposing can generate as much money as is being projected in this proposal, though, and it's really complicated. And I think I'm going to embarrass myself if I wade too far into the details. But there's a lot of skepticism about whether those projections will hold up.
He also talked about increasing the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour, not immediately, but over time. And one of the things he said in his address is that the state has really lagged when it comes to job creation and wanting to, I guess, sort of jumpstart some of that. How do you think this minimum wage increase will play in the legislature?
Not very well. I'm not positive, but even there have been a few Republicans who have said, yeah, we could get on board with a minimum wage increase, but not to the $10, 10 cent level. And I have yet to hear a leader, I believe, who has said that would be a good idea for businesses, for my district. You know, I really haven't heard leadership get behind that. And without that, I don't see where the beginning of the conversation can happen.
He said in his speech that some of these are Democratic ideas, some of them are Republican ideas, mm-hmm. some of them outside the parties. What has he done to, I guess, talk to members of the legislature controlled by the Republican Party? But how do you see that relationship evolving? It's pretty early on, but nonetheless, anything different compared to Corbett?
Oh yeah, I think most people would agree it's like a 180 degree turnaround. Corbett was somewhat almost reclusive. You know, he had these habits of an attorney general where you kind of play things close to the vest. And Wolf hasn't been scooping himself on his own budget proposal, certainly. He hasn't been telling everybody what he plans to propose a month in advance. But he has been, hanging out around the Capitol. You can see his schedule. Every Friday he's been posting his public schedule from the week before. And you can see almost every day that lawmakers are in Harrisburg, Wolf is scheduling about an hour to do what he calls legislative drop-ins, where he just walks the halls, knocks on doors, and says, "Hi, I'm Tom."
Wow.
He's been holding these meals at the governor's residence in Harrisburg, having lawmakers in groups of, 10 to 30 people come over and just talk about issues. So he's building relationships, but you've got Republicans on the other hand saying, he knocked on our door, he said hello, and then 2 hours later he did something that really ticked us off and he gave us no advance warning. What's that all about? So it's not all harmonious.
You know, I was reading that if he got everything he wanted, of course, that's a gigantic if, and going deep even into the budget, it would actually be something like a 15 or 16 5% increase over the current budget. So he is thinking big and bold.
Yeah. So the governor is calling this a $29.9 billion budget, which is less than $1 billion increase over the current year's budget, which is about a $29.1 billion figure. But it's actually, like you said, it's about a 16% increase. And all told, including, you know, the money he wants to put into to shore up the pension fund, the money he wants to borrow to shore up the pension fund, the money he wants to use on the property tax relief, it's coming to nearly a $34 billion budget. So it's a big increase.
I hate to use winners and losers, but when you look at this, do you see winners and losers when you look at this budget proposal?
I really don't know. Like I said, this has got a lot going on, and I think that the administration has done everything in their power to certainly make it to try to show that they're trying to, you know, lift the tide for a lot of boats. You know, he's not just increasing taxes; he's lowering the state's notoriously high corporate net income tax. He wants to cut that in half and keep companies from doing an end run around paying state taxes. You know, that's something that people on both sides of the aisle have been talking about. So it's not just like this is completely bad for business. And I think that Republicans would say that the difficulty of this budget. Is that it's so many of these really controversial moves, these individual, the piecemeal proposals, the components of this budget, I should say, are linked to other things. So he says, for example, he wants to borrow a bunch of money to help shore up one of the pension funds. Controversial move, kind of risky, $3 billion bond. And then he wants to use debt. He wants to pay for the debt service on that bond. He wants to use increased profits from the state liquor system. Now, why would he link those two things together? Because he wants to throw some money at the pension fund, which is an albatross around you know the state's neck, and which the Republicans want to see improve. But he also doesn't want to shut down the state liquor system, something that the Republicans in the House, at least, very much want to do. So there are tons of things like that in this proposal. Controversial moves linked to moves that the other side wants to see happen. In order to kind of, you know, ease the way of some sort of grand bargain, I think.
And, Mary, we have to say goodbye to you, but I'm assuming the next couple months will really be consumed with the governor and the legislature going through this budget and hopefully coming up with an on-time budget at the very end of the fiscal year.
You got it. It's due at the end of June.
Well, Mary Wilson, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times, getting our conversation started.
My privilege. Thank you.
You're very welcome. She's Capitol reporter for WITF in Harrisburg. You also hear her on WHYY, giving us some of the nuts and bolts of Governor Tom Wolf's budget plan for Pennsylvania. We're going to take a very short break and then talk with two more guests who will be providing more analysis and discussion as we go through some of the numbers and some of the policy ideas embedded in those numbers. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Yesterday, Pennsylvania governor, the new governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, unveiled his $29.9 billion budget plan. It includes a mix of tax cuts and tax increases. We just broke down some of those numbers with Mary Wilson, Capitol reporter for WITF and for WHYY. And then we get two perspectives on this budget proposal. And joining us are Elizabeth Stell. She's director of policy analysis for the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives. And Elizabeth Stell, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you for having me, Marty.
And I know that you're pulled off the road somewhere. I'm sorry you have to do it that way, but thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay. And also with us is Michael Wood. He's Research Director for the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. Michael Wood, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Hey, thank you. Really appreciate being on.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, again, we want to hear from you. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. Send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Michael, let me begin with you. Any big surprises from the governor's proposal yesterday?
It's an ambitious plan. I think we were kind of surprised by the scope of the plan, and all of the things that were included in it were still, going through the budget and trying to figure out how all the things work, and it's going to take a fair amount of time. But just in general, it happy to see it change in direction.
And for you, Elizabeth, anything jump out at you?
Yeah, I mean, in the same way we were surprised, but we were surprised by just the scope of the tax increase that he's proposing. It's the largest spending increase in history. We haven't seen anything on this scope since Governor Bob Casey in the early 90s.
And we're talking about a tax increase going from, I'm just scrambling here looking at my notes here, but a tax increase, a personal tax increase of about 20%, right?
Right, yeah, changing the personal income tax rate from 3.07 to 3.7. And that's the other thing that makes this budget, as Mary was saying, very interesting. There's so many moving parts. There are so many tax increases and so many tax decreases. But at the end of the day, he's still looking for a massive infusion of more taxpayer dollars from the people of Pennsylvania.
I mean, tax and spend from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at huge increases in spending levels, $4.5 billion. You don't get that money unless the people of Pennsylvania are paying more. So they may be paying in different ways, but they're definitely going to be paying more to the state if this proposal comes to fruition.
Michael, what do you make of the increase in the personal income taxes, as Elizabeth said, 3.07 to 3.7%, also increasing the sales tax from 6% to 6.6%, and also increasing the numbers of items that are subject to the sales tax? What do you make of that?
Well, we're interested in seeing what is included in the expansion of what's taxable that the governor is proposing. Apparently, there are a number of items and services that are involved in that, and there hasn't been a list that's been made available yet. The sales tax in general is a fairly regressive tax,
mm-hmm.
But if you add certain items to that, you can make it a more progressive tax. So we're interested in seeing that and seeing what how those taxes are paid. So that, depending on what the details are, could be good, could be bad. We don't know yet. In terms of, the state has said for years that we've had a what they call a structural deficit, where expenditures outstrip like how much revenue has been able to grow. The state's independent fiscal office issued a report back in late 2014, putting that at about $1 billion a year going forward. This plan, at least on paper, as an initial proposal, gives you a way to get out of that. And not just this year. The last few budgets, we've been able to have like one-time fixes that get you from, through this next fiscal year, and then you have to start all over again and come up with a new way to balance the budget. This provides, at least sources of revenue that are going to be recurring that can help put those things back on the same growth pace that they can equal out in the future.
Elizabeth, and it does include a number of tax increases, also a number of tax decreases as well, including the decrease in property tax. Is that something your organization could support?
Well, let me first just respond real quick to what Michael said. I don't think this proposal really helps solve the structural deficits, the continual budget crises, because it does very little on the pension problem. It doesn't even approach welfare services or DHS spending, which is taking up substantial amounts of revenue year after year. And we've raised taxes in the past to try to fix these deficits, but all we do then is also increase spending. So we're still in the same situation year after year. In terms of property tax, we're a little skeptical of this. It looks very similar to what Governor Wendell promised in terms of property tax rebates back in the 2005 era, and much of that did not materialize. So we're very concerned that this property tax proposal is really not going to do much for the average homeowner.
Based on what happened under the Rendell administration, or just sort of based on your suspicion about any effort to lower taxes anywhere?
Well, just based on what happened with the Rendell proposal, because what happens here is it talks about rebates, but it does nothing to keep local districts from going back in a year or two and raising property taxes again. And so that rebate is eaten up by new increases in local property taxes. So unless you solve that problem, I think you're going to see the same cycle repeat itself.
Do you share that view, Michael?
No. The Act 1 limit, with looking at local school districts, they have very strict limits on how much they can raise property taxes. There's this bill called Act 1 that was passed a few years ago that limits what school districts can raise property taxes without having to go to a voter referendum. For next year, it's 1.9%. That's still in effect. with the changes that the governor has proposed. We have to see some of the details on that, and it'll be interesting to see like how the money is going to be, how the property tax relief mechanism works, and that'll make a big difference based on like where the property tax relief ends up, you know, how it ends up working. In general, I think that, you know, property taxes have been in some parts of the state, particularly in the rings around Philadelphia and up in the Poconos region. Those areas have been dealing with high property taxes. And in the past, we have talked about having more of a focused relief effort on those. This plan is all, you know, much more ambitious than what we've proposed.
Oh, well, that's interesting. But do you think, Michael, that it's fairer for people to have their income taxed versus their property taxed?
Well, one of the issues, you know, one of the big problems with property tax is that you do have a mismatch between, you know, people live in their homes well beyond when they're earning income. And for people, once you're retired, if you're pension payments aren't going up, or if your Social Security isn't going up, you know, at the same rate that property taxes do, it makes it harder and harder for people to be able to make those payments. So in that sense, you know, an income tax would be taxing people who have income coming in.
Elizabeth Stella, let me ask you about the, and this gets really down in the weeds here, but this is important. The corporate net income tax would go from 9.99, almost 10%, to 5.99, almost 6%. Is that something that you support?
Absolutely. There are a lot of proposals or a few things individually in this budget that are good policy. The problem is, as a whole, you're still raising taxes on Pennsylvanians. You're going to be hitting the middle class, the lower income families, all of the constituencies that Governor Wolf talked about helping. You're going to be harming them. You get back to seniors, they may see some property tax relief, but things like, as far as we know, funeral services, home health care services are going to not be taxed under the sales tax proposal. The sales tax itself is going up. So, I mean, no matter who you're talking about, there's ways that this proposal as a whole is harming individuals. And so while there are some good things individually, the corporate income tax reduction, the end of the corporate stock and franchise tax has a whole, which it is an entire proposal. When you look at the entire proposal, it is not what Pennsylvania families need to succeed.
And Michael, is it too soon to sort of know where the burden, if I can put it that way, where the burden would rest? Let's assume, and of course it's not going to happen this way, let's assume that it's passed as it was delivered yesterday.
I honestly, we don't know that yet. I think we really have to like look at it. The details in this plan really do matter. And so I think we would like to look at that a little more closely. You know, certainly you were talking about the corporate net income tax cut. The corporations do pretty well under this plan from Governor Wolf. The rate gets cut pretty substantially, and then there's a change of policy from the way that companies file tax returns now to a thing called combined reporting, which closes a lot of corporate tax loopholes where companies are able to legally avoid paying tax in Pennsylvania, at least on their income. But overall, it ends up being corporations will be paying a third less than what they would under what it is currently. And that's kind of, you know, from our standpoint, not something that we would be advocating for, but it's sort of the reality of that Governor Wolf has to get a plan through the General Assembly.
And that's Michael Wood. He's Research Director for the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. Also with us, Elizabeth Stell. She's Director of Policy Analysis for the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives. And I should say that Elizabeth is stuck in traffic somewhere, and she pulled off on the side of the road talking on her cell phone. And we are taking comments at Radio Times at WHYY.org. And we're also taking tweets at WHYY Radio Times. I do want to read, I have actually playback another segment from Governor Wolf's address yesterday, his budget address. And this is where he talks about taxing the extraction of natural gas. Let's give it a listen.
You might hear me talking about education funding and assume that that means your taxes are going to go up. But in fact, my budget actually reduces the total tax burden on average middle-class homeowners by 13%. So how will we do it? We'll do it with tax reforms that are smart, pragmatic, and fair. We'll do it with changes that will help eliminate the deficit, protect the middle class, and set the table for robust private sector growth. It starts by doing what every other major gas-producing state has already done. We're going to place a severance tax on the extraction of natural gas.
And Elizabeth, this is what candidate Wolf said when he was running for office, and obviously something included in his budget address yesterday. Do you have a problem with that?
Yeah, I mean, we think it's exactly the wrong way to go if you want to create jobs that pay, which is one of Governor Wolf's big initiatives. Why are you singling out the one industry that is creating dramatic job growth for a special tax? That's exactly the wrong way. And again, these are the proposals that we've tried time and time again in the past, raising taxes to get more revenue, to do things we want to do, and then we end up spending more than we take in, and we're in the same pot we're in again. I mean, if you look at Pennsylvania's job growth, our numbers have been miserable for decades. And it's because we continue to do proposals like the severance tax. We continue to go after the job creators.
His argument is that this is what other states that have natural gas, this is what they are doing. We are only doing what, for instance, Texas is doing.
Well, if we're doing what Texas is doing, then we should also completely eliminate the corporate income tax. We should eliminate the personal income tax. There are many taxes that businesses in Pennsylvania pay that corporations in Texas do not pay. And so if we're talking about leveling the playing field, then there are lots of other tax reforms that we would be happy to discuss.
Do you like the severance tax idea, Michael Wood?
Yes, I do. In general, as Governor Wolf said, you know, this is a tax that is the norm in the oil and gas business. If you look at the Washington-based Tax Foundation, a big proponent of severance taxes, say that it gets exported to other states. If you look at the states that have lots of severance taxes, they do very well in the Tax Foundation's ratings of how states tax. Just in general, it's the way that the industry operates, and it is an extremely profitable industry, and it is a revenue source that Pennsylvania, you know, no other state would do what Pennsylvania is doing and not have such a tax.
And the money he wants to invest some of that money, Michael Wood, in education.
That is correct. And it ends up going, the tax doesn't go into effect until 2016, I believe, with the proposal. And then it goes for predominantly for education, but then there's also it goes to pay back some bonds for environmental and other kinds of business development programs, I believe. And there's also some of the revenue ends up going for enforcement and well plugging.
Elizabeth, as I said, candidate Wolf talked a lot about investing more in education. If he had his way, he would cobble together something like $1 billion to go into both higher education and pre-K through 12th grade. Is that a good investment for Pennsylvania?
Well, I think our problem with education is not necessarily the amount of funding, but how we're allocating it, how it's being spent. And the governor talked about the need to create a new funding formula. We believe the best solution is a weighted student funding formula where the dollars follow the kids no matter which school they choose to attend. So I think we need to talk about that first before we start throwing more money into the system, because obviously what we're doing now is not working. We're raising education spending continuously, and we don't really see a big difference in terms of academic outcomes.
Michael Wood, and we've done whole shows about this, and I sometimes come out at the end of them not sure, you know, exactly how the money comes for education. But nonetheless, do you see under Corbett that education, that money was taken out of public education and this as an investment in public education?
If you look at, like, the way that money goes into classrooms, the funding under the Governor Corbett from the state was reduced. If you look at test scores during this period, test scores ended up going down. You know, people say we don't want to throw money at education. Well, we just had an experiment doing 4 years of the opposite, and we see the results of that. I think this is one of the areas that I think Pennsylvania can make a really big difference in the lives and make our future better, particularly the early education and pre-K spending. That stuff has been proven to have real dividends. This is something that Pennsylvania should be doing more of. We applaud that. A lot of people in Pennsylvania applaud that. I think in the last election, that was a big issue. People have seen what funding cuts have done to their local school districts. This is a change of course.
And Elizabeth, that seemed to be such a salient issue on the campaign trail. It's one of the reasons, I think, that Governor Corbett lost. The lone Republican governor who did lose in an election or re-election. So the public wants more money invested in education.
Yeah, I mean, that is the consensus publicly, but you have to look at what are we getting for that investment. And we're just not seeing the quality of education improve at the level we would expect. We already invest more than the national average in our schools. And again, I think the problem is really that we need to spend smarter, that we need to make sure the dollars are always following the students into the classroom. And one thing that really concerns me about the budget proposal is Governor Wolf's proposals with charter schools. I mean, he absolutely guts that for charter schools, basically relegating those kids as second-class citizens, but somehow they're not worth the amount of investment that kids who choose regular schools are. So that's very concerning. And, you know, there are lots of great things that we can do to make our education dollars go further, to help people see more investment in their education, prevailing wage reform. I could go on. But I think there's a lot to be done in terms of improving the current system before we look at taxing job creators to address education.
And we have to take a very short break. We'll pick up on that. That's Elizabeth Stell. She's Director of Policy Analysis for the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives. Michael Witt, also with us by telephone, Research Director for the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. And we are taking apart Governor Tom Wolf's budget address yesterday. And we'll be getting some more comments in at radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We've been dissecting and discussing Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf's first budget proposal. In the proposal, property and wage taxes would go down. Income taxes would go up. Sales taxes would go up. There would be a new natural gas tax, and there would be a cigarette tax increase as well. And talking about all of this with Elizabeth Stell and with Michael Wood. Let me read a couple of comments that we have here, an email from Tom. He says the gas tax would have a wider audience if the proceeds were not earmarked for education. Rather, these funds should support environmental remediation. I don't know, Michael, if you want to weigh in on that as well. I mean, there's some folks that don't even want to have natural gas drilling at all, taxing the fact that natural gas is here, but concerns about, I guess, where some of this money is going. Do you share some of that at all?
Well, I think that I understand where people are coming from with that. I think that in general, Pennsylvania needs to, with the monitoring of this industry, making sure that it's as absolutely safe as possible if we're going to be hosting it on our land is very important, and we need to fund it properly to be able to do that. The budget ends up using some money from other sources to be able to increase the regulation of this industry. But it will it's something that is, I'm sure is up for negotiation.
Mm. An email from Matt. I commend Governor Wolf for attempting to boldly restructure the system. It seems that Philadelphia and its taxpayers will be affected differently than the rest of the state. The proposed cigarette tax, property relief tax, wage and sales taxes. Do they perceive the possibility that Republican and rural legislators will complain that the burden is shifting away from Philadelphia and onto the rest of the state? Elizabeth, I don't know if you've looked that deeply into that. Can you respond in any way to Matt's email comment?
Yeah, I don't have any specific figures to give him on evidence for shifting. I think there's a lot of shifting going on, whether you're in Philadelphia or whether you're a family living in Du Bois, PA. I think everyone is going to be affected by this proposal in different ways, but no one is going to be unaffected. I think that's fair to say. So it remains to be seen exactly how the rural versus urban dynamic plays out.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Michael?
It depends on how the tax revenue, how the tax relief is done for the property tax. In general, it looks like that there is going to be, the property tax relief is going to be spread out throughout the state.
We have a tweet from Nate says, so if you're a middle-class homeowner, your taxes go down. If you're a middle-class non-homeowner, your taxes will go up. How does this budget help the middle class? It seems like it's going to pinch already struggling households for more money. Let me get a response from you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, we're still analyzing exactly how the family of four is going to be affected as a homeowner or as a renter. But it looks like the governor has severely underestimated the impact on the sales tax for families. So we're still crunching the numbers, but it looks like a homeowner or non-homeowner, you're going to be paying more.
And to you, Michael, I mean, I've also often thought of the sales tax as a regressive tax. Everyone pays the same percentage, no matter whether they're rich or poor. Are you in any way troubled by increasing the sales tax and increasing the numbers of things that would be taxed?
It depends on how the base is expanded. I think you can expand the base to have more services that tend to be used by people who have higher incomes. If that is what the base expansion includes, then it can make the tax less regressive than it currently is. One thing that I've heard specifically is that it doesn't tax groceries, and that's a big issue for us. That certainly would, you know, make the tax more regressive if you ended up taxing that. There are only a couple states that do that. But proposals like Senate Bill 76, which would eliminate property taxes that was considered last year, did exactly that. And it ended up being, you know, an issue, you know, for us and many groups, including a lot of the food banks.
To you, Elizabeth, and to you as well, Michael, the governor says, why is Pennsylvania ranked at the bottom of job growth? And he believes that some of what he's proposing here would address that. Why do you think, Elizabeth, that Pennsylvania has done so poorly when it comes to job growth?
Well, I think it's very simple. We're taxed very highly. We have very high business taxes. Corporate income tax is, you know, the most obvious example. But when you look at the tax burden for individuals and companies in Pennsylvania, per capita basis, we're 10th in the nation for highest state and local tax burden. So companies don't want to come here because they know they're going to be more taxed. And if you're talking about raising the personal income tax, most small businesses pay that tax. So Governor Wolf's proposal definitely dings small businesses where the most job creation happens.
Do you see that way, Michael, that the problem is high taxes in Pennsylvania? That's why we don't have the kind of job growth we would like?
No. If you look at by a lot of different measures, Pennsylvania's state and local tax burden is not as high as it's being portrayed. If you look at what businesses pay as a share of the gross state product, there's an institute called the Council on State Taxation, which is a think tank funded by Fortune 500 companies, put Pennsylvania's total state local tax burden on companies below the national average.
Hmm. So how can we have such?
I think a lot of it, honestly, is demographic. We have an aging state compared to most places in the United States. The state has been around a long time compared to many other states. So it's not like we have the opportunity for growth in undeveloped land the way like a place like Arizona has. Weather has been a factor in that. As air conditioning has come on, we've seen the South across the United States be able to develop as they've been able to, you know, have more economic activity all year round. You know, that's a historic thing that's been going on. And it's just, you know, I think for Pennsylvania, we need to make better opportunities for young people.
Elizabeth, you want to weigh in on that? Air conditioning and old people?
You know, there's a lot of different reasons why companies choose to locate where they locate. You know, tax policy is one of them. But you also have to look at the labor climate, you know, where we're at in terms of labor reform, our labor laws. You also have to look at things like personal income tax rates for small businesses. But also you have to consider the amount of what we call corporate welfare that is being handed out. We hand out more than most other states, and yet we still can't attract job creators. So that's telling us that there's something seriously wrong with our regulatory and our tax environment if we can't even bribe job creators to move to the Keystone State.
And how do you define corporate welfare besides just bribery? What do you mean there?
Well, maybe bribery is too strong of a term. But there are many different economic development programs that Pennsylvania runs different grants and loans that they offer to businesses to try to entice them to move to Pennsylvania. And there are many examples of how those programs have failed. And unfortunately, Governor Wolf has proposed many more of those in his budget. Specifically, the thing that stands out to me is the $225 million in alternative energy grants that he's looking to hand out. And so, you know, if you want to get back to fairness and, you know, jobs that pay and improving the economy in Pennsylvania, you need to look at broad-based tax reductions, streamlining regulation, and not the bait and switch that this current budget proposal provides.
Michael, anything you want to say in response, Elizabeth? Then I have a couple questions for you.
Sure. You know, in terms of the broad tax reduction that Elizabeth's talking about, the budget does have that in terms of the CNI rate. If you're looking at, you know, with what helps companies grow, you know, having an educated workforce is a huge part of the equation, being close to other markets, things like that. Pennsylvania is actually in a reasonably good position with that. I think we just need to spend our money in terms of economic development more wisely. I don't think that trying to lure companies from other states by providing grants to physically locate is probably a good strategy. If we can do things that can help businesses develop here in the state, I think that's probably a wiser use of our money.
We know that previous Governor Tom Corbett tried to institute some kind of pension reform, which really went nowhere. He couldn't even get a response from his Republican legislature. Governor Wolf now recommends or is recommending borrowing $3 billion to head off the crisis, refinance a debt. I don't have a total read on the exact details there. But, Michael, how much is the pension a problem for Pennsylvania?
You know, the pension issue has been a problem for balancing the state's budget, but it is, you know, largely self-inflicted from not paying into the system for about a decade. Right. And, you know, investment losses were a huge part of the reason why the state pension system is underfunded also. But I think that the one thing the budget does is it's paying into it, paying down the debt on the pension costs. It's going to be increasing no matter what kind of reform people are talking about. Most of that is on an ideological nature, not having anything to do with actually changing what the payments that the state's going to owe for the pension systems in the next 5 years. Those payments, by law, are going to be ratcheting up in the next few years. And the state has to find a way to be able to pay for those increased costs. But once you get past that five-year window, then they stay fairly much the same over the next 10 years or so. And at that time, you know, I think it's getting through the next 5 years is what's going to be particularly difficult.
That's the sort of heavy lifting part. Do you see it that way, Elizabeth?
Well, I think the pension issue is a much bigger deal than the governor has made it out to be. I mean, this is taking away dollars from education, dollars from every other part of the budget. It's just eating away any growth that we see year to year in our revenues. So it has to be addressed. It's a huge issue. I mean, we're talking over $50 billion in liabilities right now. And that's what's hamstringing our local school districts. So I think we need to get much more serious about paying down the liability and also stopping the bleeding, so to speak, stopping the digging, changing pension benefits, not taking away benefits in any way, shape, or form, but changing benefits so that they're more sustainable in the long term, so that we're taking politics out of the equation, so that lawmakers can't decide as they have in years past, not to pay into it. There's definitely lots of blame to go around for how we got into this mess. So we need to start talking more seriously about solutions, or we're going to continue to have this huge debt hanging over our heads and eventually passing it along to our children to deal with.
But if Corbett couldn't get a Republican-controlled legislature to do something about this, do you think Wolf can, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I don't know. I think sooner or later the math's going to win out. I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but I think it's important that it continues to be a part of the discussion, and I would hope that the governor would take more seriously efforts to address the pension crisis, because it is indeed a crisis, and we're not getting out of it.
Coming from your organization, Michael, I see here wine and spirits and pensions, thankfully, were not the focus of this budget. Why thankfully?
Just because I think it ends up being it takes away from the actual it's a distraction, honestly. And it's another one-time revenue source that people have dangled out there as a way to fill budget holes that in the future doesn't do anything to make the state's budget more sustainable. And I'm happy to see that it's not included in this one.
And you're including wine and spirits. I mean, I can't tell you how many shows we've done about, you know, selling, reforming, changing the way we buy liquor and wine in this state. And, you know, nothing seems to change. Do you think something will change under this governor, Michael?
Well, I think it has changed. I think if you look at, you know, you can buy beer in many grocery stores across the state now. I think that's probably the bigger issue for most Pennsylvanians is being able to have ready access to six packs as opposed to having to buy a case. But in terms of liquor and wine, you know, I think that there are a lot of reforms that can be done where you don't have to scrap the system to be able to move that forward and make sure that we have, you know, as consumers, reasonable prices and reasonable selection.
Should we keep the system we have, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I think tying a pension to liquor privatization the way the governor has is was politically a good move, but I don't think it helps the people of Pennsylvania. The people of Pennsylvania want the state out of the liquor business. There's no reason they should be selling wine and liquor. There's no reason we should be spending our tax dollars advertising alcohol sales. It just doesn't make any sense. So it's time to get rid of that, and then, you know, we can focus on addressing the pension issue. There's no reason we have to tie the two together.
Michael, a couple minutes before I have to say goodbye, and Elizabeth, it sounds like we're almost losing you already. But, Michael, as you look ahead, what do you anticipate as the legislature begins to dig into some of these numbers?
It's going to be an interesting debate. I think that the governor has offered a number of things that have been traditionally Republican ideas in the past that it's going to be difficult for them to walk away from. You know, particularly if, you know, this, we hear all the time about like how high the corporate net income tax rate is, and he's offering a way to make a really big difference on that, something that, you know, a lot of lawmakers have said they care about, but over the years, nothing ever gets done on it. So it'll be interesting to see how that works for them with this. The property tax issue, I think, is going to be a huge issue. You know, it depends on like how that money ends up being distributed. But again, it's another issue that's been hanging around in Pennsylvania for, you know, 30 years, if not more than that. So it'll be an interesting budget debate with a lot of big ideas being talked about. And I think we have a chance to move the state in the right direction.
Elizabeth, anything you want to say? Final thoughts?
You know, final thoughts, I would just stress that no state has ever taxed itself into prosperity, and I don't think we're going to be the first one. We really need to seriously rethink how we're going to go about attracting job growth, making life easier for middle-class families, raising taxes just isn't the way to do that.
Well, on that note, my thanks to the two of you for joining us today in Radio Times. Happy trails, Elizabeth Stell, getting back on the road. Thanks for joining us. And she's Director of Policy Analysis for the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives. And Michael Wood, thank you very much for joining us as well.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Research Director for the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. Lots of numbers during this hour of Radio Times, talking about Governor Wolf's budget proposal, which was announced yesterday. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times to find out more about this program, including how to download a podcast, how to find us on Twitter, and how to follow us on Facebook. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. It's produced by Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Bilder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens. I'm Marty Moscow. Wayne, thank you so much for joining us.